Reading from the Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 13 through 34, actually. Listen to God's Word. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." He said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, every once in a while it happens that I get up in the morning and I go and I look at the sermon notes that I have diligently and prayerfully prepared throughout the week, and I say, this just isn't going to fly today. And so it's a little like walking across the tightrope. Did you see it on the Today Show a week or so ago where the guy walked across in Newark way up high and then rode a bicycle across the tightrope? It's a little bit like walking a tightrope without a net, preaching a little. It's not quite extemporaneously, but it is changing things as we go. So pray for me and pray for you as well. Have you seen the commercial of, I think it's the New York Lottery, where it's a little man and his name is, you know what it is? Little Bit of Luck. And the whole gist of this lottery commercial is that in this particular thing, it's one of the scratch-off things, I guess, that all you really will need is to do this lottery is all you will really need is a little bit of luck. And so he's this he's this little guy that through the technology of modern television they can make look like he's really right there interacting with full-grown adults. Well, sometimes a little bit of luck, according to the commercial, is all we need. And then there are other times. There's another one of the commercials. There are a couple of them. Maybe I watch too much TV. I don't know. But there's another commercial that where lots of luck is introduced. And what they say is that if you want to date a supermodel, if you're a guy, that's what you need, lots of luck. But to play the lottery, all you need is a little bit of luck. Well, in thinking about this little bit of luck, there is also such a thing as a little bit of faith. Little faith, actually, as a character. In fact, it is one, a kind of character in a way to which Jesus refers in this passage. And a lot of the words, the teaching that you heard this week may sound very familiar to you if you were with us last week, because I read a portion of Scripture from not the Gospel of Luke, but the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And although Luke introduces the teaching in a little different context, in Matthew it is part of the Sermon on the Mount, in Luke it's an outgrowth of a parable that Jesus taught in response to a question he was asked to arbitrate. I'll talk about that in a minute. Although the context is different, the teaching is just about exactly the same. This is one of those examples, and this is just an aside, where we learn that the gospel writers had a lot of different kinds of material available to them. Matthew and Luke base a lot of their gospel on what Mark taught and the order of Mark's gospel. This, however, is something that is almost identical in Matthew and Luke, but it's not in Mark. So scholars believe they would say that there was another source, and they call it Q, which is part of the German word, the beginning of the German word for source. That's what they were drawing on. Okay, enough of that kind of technical thing. It's the same teaching. Different context. But the way the gospel writers apply that teaching is a little different, but it is the same teaching. And in this, Jesus actually talks about you of little faith. There it is. You little faith. Now, sometimes a little faith is really all we need. Sometimes a little faith, as it's portrayed for us in the Scripture, is a wonderful thing. It's like that first step of faith that we take that leads our life in a completely different direction than the way it had been going. That is a wonderful thing, just a little bit of faith. A little bit of faith can be something like just that one candle that continues to burn in the midst of a world of darkness that no amount of darkness can overcome. Can extinguish. It continues to shine. A little bit of faith. Jesus even says in another context that if we have so much just faith as just a little grain of mustard seed, small seed-like faith, that's the kind of faith that God can use to move mountains. And today is Reformation Sunday. It's all about faith. It's all about the history that we have as a Reformed people who have had models of people like Martin Luther, like John Calvin, like many, many others throughout the history of the church, like even the 50-year members of this particular church family who live their life in faith. And sometimes all we need is just that little bit of faith. But there are other times, and it is what Jesus is talking about in this context, when being of a little faith is not what we want to be. The context of this teaching, as we said, is a parable that Jesus explicates in response to a request. The family member comes up to Jesus and he says, I want you to arbitrate between me and another sibling about an inheritance. Now, there was nothing unusual about this. This person is teaching, is treating Jesus as a rabbi. And rabbis in this time and culture would often arbitrate some types of family disputes. But Jesus wanted nothing about this dispute. He did not want to do this. In fact, he says, take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. He was seeing in, reading into what this dispute was really all about. Not just about fairness, perhaps, but about greed. Be on your guard against it, for life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And then he tells the parable. It's an interesting parable, because it's about a man who lives out of the abundance of his work. And there's nothing wrong with that. This is not an immoral man. This is not a man who has stolen from other people in order to accumulate his wealth. He's not called immoral. He is not called a thief. What Jesus calls him is a fool. And the reason that he is a fool is because of the, not because he has accumulated his wealth by an illicit means, but because of his attitude towards his wealth and what he does with his wealth. He is foolish. One of the interesting things about this parable in the way Jesus tells it, and Jesus is a master storyteller, is if you look at the kind of imaginary conversation that the man has with himself out of his abundance, I'm going to read it, and I want you to just kind of make a mental click, and I'll tell you if you got the right number or not. How many times the word I and my come up in just this short couple of verses about the man having an imaginary conversation with himself? The man says, thought to himself because of this abundance, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. You probably really couldn't count it. I did it so quickly. 10 times. 10 times the way Jesus presents this parable, and he's showing us something here in the attitude of this wealthy yet foolish person. 10 times this person is thinking about himself. There is no concern about taking part of the abundance and using it for the good of others. There's no concern about any discussion at all about whether there is some further ethical implication about how we use our wealth. It's all for himself. He's going to invest it. He's going to invest it in himself by tearing down his barns so that he can build bigger barns to hold more. He has invested it in the wrong place. Boy, there's a parable there for us, huh? In terms of what we are all going through in not only a national but a world economy. It's very much about where we have invested our wealth. We need to be wise investors. Let me stay with that. We need to invest what God has given us in that which is a good investment. Alan did a wonderful job of portraying the reality of our circumstance. You know, and he used the example of if you've lost $1 million. Well, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. We as a church family have lost $1 million of market value of our endowment. We had a $5 million market value of endowment. It is now below 4, I believe. We have lost it. Now, hopefully, we'll regain it. And Ken Gordon assures us that, there's a possibility of gaining some of that back. And we're not actually even going to feel the effects of that loss immediately. But it's quite a good deal of concern for us. This is one of those times when what we need to be doing is to be investing wisely, investing our resources in the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in making sure that this place is secure and continues as a healthy and vibrant congregation, especially in such a time as this, when the comfort and the perspective of God's presence and grace is so greatly needed in the world. That's what Jesus, that's what the teaching is talking about, out of this application. So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich toward God. We need to invest and be rich toward God. There is a message that we need to hear. Do not worry about your life, for life is more than food and the body more than clothing. He uses worrying three times in this context. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? Why do you worry about the rest if you can't do that? And then that very poetic, consider the lilies, consider the birds. Luke also identifies what kind of birds, the ravens. And then it says this, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will we clothe you? And here he is, you of little faith. Not little bit of luck, little bit of faith. It's not a complete absence of faith. He's not talking to people who are heathen or pagan or non-believers. He's talking about people who believe, who have faith, but their faith is small. And in order, especially in times like this, to trust God, to entrust ourselves to God, to even be willing to invest wisely so that we are rich toward God. Brothers and sisters, that takes more than just a little bit of faith. That takes a lot of faith, especially to do it without worrying, without anxiety. This is a moment in the history of our church life together that is all about faith. How are we going to do this? How are we going, losing money in the endowment? Many of us, if not most of us, if not all of us, losing money in our personal investments, some jobs at stake, incomes up for grabs, an economy that is not seemingly moving forward with all of the effort of the government, at a crucial time in our nation with an election just around the corner that will help decide the future of where we are headed in terms of economic policy as a nation. As a nation, it's a very serious times. These are times when it would be natural to think about worrying. It would be natural to pull back and to not be willing to invest what God has given us, but to hoard it for ourselves and not only build bigger barns, but lock the door and hope that we can preserve it. Or it's a time of faith, an opportunity. Time when we need not a little bit of faith, but a lot of faith. Brothers and sisters, our congregation is in another circumstance in which right now we need more than just a little bit of faith. Just a week ago, Helene Cody, whose 16th birthday is today, participated in the crop walk exuberantly, enthusiastically, leading a normal life of a sophomore in high school, active in church, active in sports, active in so many ways. Early in the week, she started getting terrific headaches. Taken to the doctor, then taken to Princeton Medical Center, they determined that she had an aneurysm. And so they took her to the place where the world's leading specialists in pediatric aneurysms are located. And that is St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital on 10th Avenue in New York. I'm going to read a series of statements that the family has made throughout the week. These statements, by the way, have been posted on our website, and any of you who want our church's website, and any of you who want to follow, if there are any more statements from the family, we will post those on our website as well. On Friday, from New York, and Pastor Rosanna was with the family all day Friday at the hospital in New York, this statement was posted. Helene Cody suffered a setback with an aneurysm Thursday night. She remains in serious critical condition. She is in the pediatric intensive care unit of St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital in New York with the finest doctors in the world. At the time, the family said no visitors were allowed, and in lieu of flowers, they asked that cards be sent. And then they said this: "We appreciate your outpouring and prayers and positive thoughts for Helene." And then so many people wanted to know what they could do. The family just said in general, would be just give blood is a helpful thing. If you really feel like, and that's part of it, when someone we care about is under such circumstance, we want to do something. And so many people in this town and in this church family wanted to do something. Well, that was Friday. Yesterday, there were two statements. At 10:30 in the morning, this update was noted. Helene has been put under sedation to reduce the pressure on her brain. She will be monitored very carefully. Your prayers are urgently needed and appreciated. And then last night at 8 o'clock, this statement. Thank you for all your outpouring of positive support and prayer. It gives our family a great consolation during this extraordinary, difficult time. Unfortunately, all medical tests, which were conducted with the world's finest pediatric aneurysm team, point to minimal brain functioning. We appreciate your continued prayers for Helene. Even in this dark time, we are overwhelmed with gratitude for the comfort, support, and positive thoughts of our family and knowledge that God's hand is guiding Helene. With heartfelt thanks, the Cody family. Just before Sunday school today, and we spent time with the senior high, the youth class today, processing this, praying, and I'll tell you about an opportunity for prayer in just a minute. I talked to Linda Cody at the hospital about 9:15. She told me this, that the family is gathered and they are watching and waiting. And that's where we are. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray. For this is one of those occasions when a little bit of faith is just not going to do it for us. It's not going to be enough. We need a lot of faith. And so we're going to pray in just a minute. I'm going to ask Pastor Rosanna, and we're going to move, heck with the order of worship, we're just going to move right to the prayers of the people, prayers of the church. But tonight, the youth group is going to gather, as Pastor Rosanna said, and at 7 o'clock, and this is what we're asking everyone, we're asking everyone to be in prayer, but at 7 o'clock, let's all stop what we're doing. Even if it's watching the Steelers today. So, you know, at 7 o'clock, let's stop and pray for 5 minutes. You don't have to be with anybody else. You can, certainly. Feel free to gather. But wherever you are, whatever you are doing, and the youth group will be doing this, at 7 o'clock, stop. Pray. 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. Concerted prayer for all of us. Because this is a time not for little faith, but for a lot of faith. Pastor Rosanna, would you come and lead us in prayer?
Let us join our hearts together in prayer. O Lord, our God, our gracious and kind Heavenly Father, we turn to you in prayer in our time of need. We are sad about the news about Helene. We're concerned about the Cody family, and we lift each of them up to your tender care during this extraordinarily difficult time. We know that you hear our prayers, and we know that you love them so much more than all of us love them. Be with them by your Spirit, even the Spirit of Christ Jesus, whom you raised from the dead. In this sad time, we look to you and your word for guidance and comfort, and for courage and strength. We pray the words of Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you are my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me abide in your tent forever. Find refuge under the shadow of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. So I will always sing praises to your name as I pay my vows day after day. Help us to live as your people, people of faith, hope, and love, trusting in your providential care. When it is hard for us to see the ways that you are working in our lives and in the lives of those we love and in the world, give us the eyes of faith to see deeper and to discern truly your tremendous love and power. Today we thank you for the people of great faith in the Bible and church history, including the reformers like Martin Luther, all those who went before us following you and following Jesus our Savior. We thank you for all that they did, that you did through them to make sure that your church tells the world about your love, about your will and your word. Thank you so much for this congregation. Thank you for its longtime members throughout its history. Help us in our words and actions to keep shining the light of Christ's love and goodness to our families, our classmates, our wider community, and the world. Lord, let your amazing healing power be known in every person, household, and situation of need. And we especially lift up Helene and the Cody family. Wonderful God, you are the comforter of all who mourn. May you fill them with the peace of Christ, your peace that passes all understanding. May they know your loving presence every day and every night. We ask all this through your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.